This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's Emmy Week on Fresh Air, featuring our interviews with some of this year's nominees. We'll start with Bill Hader, who became famous as a cast member of Saturday Night Live. He's nominated for 4 Emmys related to HBO's dark comedy series Barry, which he co-created and stars in, and 1 for IFC's Documentary Now. Last year, after season 1 of Barry, Hader won the Emmy for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Hader plays Barry, a Marine who has suffered from depression and PTSD ever since returning from Afghanistan. After feeling he was useless back at home, he became a hitman, doing what he knew he was good at, shooting people. One hit, he's assigned, is in L.A., where his job is to kill a young man who's having an affair with the wife of a crime boss. As Barry pursues his target, a personal trainer and acting student, Barry sits in on the acting class, ends up doing a scene, and thinks maybe he can transform his life by becoming an actor. In this scene from season 1, Barry asks the acting teacher, Gene Cousineau, if he can join the class. Cousineau is played by Henry Winkler.
Hey, Ms. Cousineau, I was wondering, do you think I was good enough to be in your class?
No, Barry, I don't. What you did was dog I mean, really, really awful. Dumb acting, I call it. Do you know why? Because acting is truth, and I saw no truth. So here's my advice to you. You go back to whatever nook of the world you call home, and you do whatever it is you're good at, because this is not it.
You want to know what I'm good at? I'm good at killing people. Yeah, when I got back from Afghanistan, I was really depressed. You know, like I didn't leave my house for months, and this friend of my dad's, he's like an uncle to me. He helped me out, and he gave me a purpose. He told me that what I was good at over there could be useful here. And it's a job, you know? Like, the money's good, and these people I take out, like, they're bad people. But lately, you know, I'm not sleeping, and that depressed feeling's back, you know? Like I know there's more to me than that. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe this is all I'm good at. I don't know. Anyway, forget it. Sorry to bother you.
What's that from?
What?
Are you telling me that was an improvisation? Huh. Interesting. The story's nonsense, but there's something to work with. My class is not cheap.
Well, it's not a problem.
You pay in cash?
Yeah.
You pay in advance?
I can do that.
Next class tomorrow, 2 p.m. We start on time.
Absolutely.
What's your last name again?
Block. Barry Block.
You pay in advance?
Yeah, no, I know.
Gene M. Cousineau. I look forward to this journey.
Bill Hader, welcome back to Fresh Air. I love the series. Hi. Well, that clip kind of summarizes part of what the first season was about. Barry knowing that he's a good hitman, but truly wanting a different life. And he has trouble speaking the truth on stage, but when he speaks it off stage, like he did in that scene, people don't always believe him because it seems so preposterous. And that's a kind of constant thing in the series, that when people like act the truth, people don't necessarily want to hear it. When they act the more, you know, stage version of the truth, that's a distortion of the truth, people like give them accolades.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I always find that's true, especially in art in general. It's the kind of harsh reality of something. You know, I think you could kind of a cynical way, well, it doesn't really sell and things like that, which might be true. But I think also what we in the writer's room when we talked about it was, you know, Alec Berg, who co-created the show with me, we realized, you know, I think people just don't like hearing about it. You know, people like a nice story.
It's a bummer.
It's a bummer. Yeah, that was the thing we kept saying. It was like, oh, that was a bummer. Yeah, that was like, it was a real bummer. And so, yeah, a lot of times in season two, the whole Henry Winkler's character, the acting coach, Gene Cousineau, makes them do a truth exercise, talk about your deepest truth of who made you who you are. And to be honest and real, that makes you an artist. And how, one, that's really hard to do. And two, do people even really want to hear that?
Yeah. How did the idea of a hitman who wants to be an actor get started? Like, what was the germ of that idea?
Alec Berg and I were kind of put together by our mutual agent. This is back in 2014.
And, oh, so you weren't buddies? Like somebody like
I knew
matchmaker?
Him. Yeah, someone played matchmaker and it worked. Yeah, but we're in the same comedy circles and stuff like that. But we thought, oh well, let's go and I had this deal at HBO and to make a show, but I didn't know what the show was. And then we would sit and we talked about one idea for a while, and we realized that it was kind of an idea that didn't have any stakes to it. We realized like we had a great pilot episode, and then when we thought of what would be other episodes, we didn't have anything.
What was that first idea?
It was essentially me playing someone I grew up with in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was kind of the character. I was in a movie called Hot Rod, and the character I played in Hot Rod, it was kind of like a version of that guy, and it was very much like a day in the life kind of meandering thing of this kind of wayward guy in Oklahoma, and it just was boring. I just was like, I can't really get into this. I mean, we have bits, there's comedy bits, but where's the emotion, where's the story, and really where are the stakes to it, and so we kind of had this breakfast. I remember a bummer breakfast, right, where we both were like kind of separately went, I don't think this idea works, it doesn't really hold water. And I go, it should be stakes. And I remember he said, oh, life and death, that's the ultimate, right? Death, that, and I just said, well, what if I was a hitman? And he went, ugh, I hate hitmen. And he said, hitman's like dog catcher. There's more in television and movies than there are in real life. There's not hitman. What is that? I go, but what if it was me, and it's not a guy. It's not, the kind of cool guy with two guns in his hands with the long tie. Like, what if we, the black tie and the suit, what if we made it real? And we talked about that, and then I'm not joking. We suddenly both got fixated on the idea of him being an actor. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. We just both started talking about him taking an acting class, and I remember specifically Alec going, "Oh, Hitman wants to be an actor. That's funny. That's good." And then we started seeing these interesting correlations of the conflict within that of, a hitman wants to be in the shadows, but an actor wants to be in the spotlight. A hitman wants to be anonymous, but actors want to be known. A hitman wants to suppress his emotions, where an actor wants to constantly be, harnessing their emotions and all these things. So it was a funny, it just seemed, the acorn, the seed of the idea could, give us a tree that, give us a lot of interesting stories and different branches and places to go off to.
This is Fresh Air, and if you're just joining us, my guest is Bill Hader. He first became known for his work as a performer and writer on Saturday Night Live, and now he's the co-creator, star, co-writer, co-producer, and one of the directors of the HBO series Barry. And he plays a Marine who served in Afghanistan and returns home with a very guilty conscience. And when he comes home, the best work he can find is using the skill he has and becoming a hitman. But on his way to carrying out an assignment as a hitman in L.A., he decides he really wants to be an actor and access all the emotions that he's been blocking. Yes, yes. Sounds improbable, yes.
Even when you say it, you're like, oh, man,
what?
I can't believe HBO said yes to this.
No, but I love it because it ends up having, like, it has a lot of humor, but it also has, like, a surprising amount of emotional depth.
Yeah.
So, and that leads us to the next clip I want to play. In the second season, there's a kind of twist on the first clip that we played where Barry's telling his acting teacher, Henry Winkler, that, you know, his buddy, that Barry's buddy was shot in Afghanistan when Barry was a Marine there. And Barry took revenge and killed the man he thought was the shooter, but it was the wrong man. And he's suffered from guilt ever since. But what he's not confessing in the scene is, A, that he's a hitman, and B, that he's killed Cousineau's girlfriend, Janice, who was a cop and was onto the fact that Barry was a hitman. That happened in season one. So in this part, Barry's telling his teacher, Gene Cousineau, played by Henry Winkler, about the emotional aftermath of shooting the wrong man in Afghanistan.
And then they sent me to a hospital in Germany, and a family friend pulled some strings and got me discharged. After that, I didn't feel like I deserved a good life.
Holy Who else did you tell this story to?
In class, no one.
Good. So here's my advice. You never tell that story again as long as you live, because basically, you killed somebody, and you got away with it.
See, this is what I want to tell you. This is what I don't want to tell you, because you're going to look at me differently. You're going to look at me like I'm a murderer, like I'm a violent piece of shit.
Listen to me. I have a son. I was terrible to this son. I was cruel. I was selfish. And there's nothing I can do to change that. But I don't want to be that guy anymore. And I pray that human beings can change their nature. Because if we can't, then you and I are in deep trouble.
That's a scene from the HBO series Barry with my guests Bill Hader and Henry Winkler. And Bill Hader co-created, co-writes, and also directs several episodes of the series. So that's just such a great scene about, now that we've told you, you have to be honest, make sure you hide the truth. But another question raised in that clip that we just heard are, you know, are we capable of change? Can we change our nature? Is that a question you ask yourself a lot? I know I ask that question.
You're kind of going, am I stuck?
Yes.
Am I stuck with these tools? Am I stuck with these neuroses? Am I stuck with this personality thing? Can I change it? And you keep falling back into it. And it's a part of life. As you get older, you start to get a little bit more, I think, worried about it, because you go, I'm still doing that, you know. Like I still have you know, these problems or whatever, you know, again, it's like I said, the writer's room on Barry can just be like, it feels like a group therapy session where everybody kind of talks about, you know, I'm not going to name names or, you know, link things, but, you know, things like, oh, I have a tendency to exaggerate or lie, or I have a tendency to be emotionally cold. These things that you see in your parents and you see in other people and your relatives. You know, a lot of people I know will get together with their siblings and be like, do you do that? Yeah, I do that. Remember Mom would do that? You know, and it's like, oh, no. I can't shake that, you know, and can you shake that? And so it's more interesting to start a season with a question, you know, can you change your nature, and try to figure it out while you're writing, you know, instead of having like a, in my mind, you know, a full theme of, you know, starting with an answer and trying to prove that.
Was writing on Saturday Night Live, did that involve the same kind of emotional, like, vulnerability and sharing that you're describing happens in the writer's room for Barry?
No. That was more like, here's a dumb idea we have, and how do we, you know, I mean, if it was a satirical thing, but never the kind of emotional stuff, in my experience there. But it was more of, if you're going into more of a satire, kind of going like, is this a thing? You know what I mean? Are we satirizing something that, you know, is an actual problem or worth being satirized or... You know, and so sometimes you would be like, oh, I've experienced that, or I know that feeling, or I've seen that commercial, or I saw that, you know, thing or whatever it is. and you just want to make sure that it holds water in some way. But never the, I mean, yeah, no, I don't think sketch comedy would lend itself to, like, a sketch about can you change your nature?
So one of the pleasures of watching Barry is that there's a lot of intentionally bad acting in it, mm-hmm. and in some intentionally bad, like, monologues in it, because it's about acting students who, you know, don't necessarily know what they're doing yet. And, of course, Barry doesn't really know how to act yet. Sometimes he really nails it because it's so consonant with the emotions that he's feeling at the moment, but other times he doesn't get it at all. My favorite not getting it at all moment is when he does a short scene from Glengarry Glen Ross. And it's the very famous scene. It's Alec Baldwin's scene where he's like the guy from headquarters who comes in to tell all these scam artists who are selling like terrible real estate, like worthless real estate by phone to people. And he comes in to tell them that like unless they shape up, they're fired. So yeah. So the first thing I wanted to do is play Alec Baldwin doing the role. Okay, so here's Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross. And this is a David Mamet play and then movie.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only. You think I'm f***ing with you? I'm here from downtown. I'm here from Mitch and Murray. And I'm here on a mission of mercy. Your name's Levine.
Yeah.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch? I don't gotta listen to this. You certainly don't, pal. Because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got all you've got just 1 week to regain your job, starting with tonight. Starting with tonight's sit. Oh, have I got your attention now? Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture?
Okay, now let's hear how you do it, Bill Hader, portraying Barry, who is in acting class. He wants to be a good actor. He doesn't really know how to do it. So here is Barry doing that scene from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Can you put that coffee down? Coffee's for closers only. You call yourself a salesman? You son of a bitch. Hi, I'm from downtown. I'm from Mitch and Murray. So you've got, all of you got, just 1 week to regain your jobs, starting with tonight. Okay, we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see what second prize is? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired, but
okay,
I've worked
okay.
out
no, no,
a little...
No. I, stop. I'm not kidding. You're making me nauseous.
You're making me nauseous.
That is so funny. So can you talk about deciding to do a really bad version of that very famous scene and the kind of like good-natured, like I'm here to give you prizes attitude that you have in acting it?
Yeah, that he doesn't understand the context of it at all. Well, that was a thing that it was helpful in the writing was we said we need to get the Barry's problem in that episode is that he couldn't stand up for himself against Fuchs, the Stephen Root character. And so he...
The guy who's assigned to him his hit, you know, his handler as a hitman.
His hitman agent, if you will, who's constantly bullying him to do stuff. And we, or Alec and I talking and saying he should learn how to do this in the acting class. The acting class should be the venue where he goes and learns how to be a more assertive person. And in writing that scene, then you go, well, he needs to start off as not very assertive, and Cousineau needs to tell him how to be assertive in the scene, but then he can take that into the real world. And so it was just working backwards. So then it was like, okay, well, how's he going to be not be assertive? So he should do a scene and not be assertive. And then I think I pitched, what if he did the Alec Baldwin scene, but nice? And everyone laughed, and there you are.
The first time I interviewed you, I didn't know about this, but apparently when you were on Saturday Night Live, you had a lot of anxiety about performing live and even had like a panic attack, I think, while the show was on, while you were...
Yeah, on the air, I had a panic attack.
While you were doing a bit playing Julian Assange.
Yeah, I was playing Julian Assange. I had a panic attack. It was fun.
can you describe now, what happened then?
Yeah, I was doing a Julian Assange. It was Jeff Bridges hosting, and I don't know what happened, but I suddenly went, I can't breathe. It just felt like I was dying. That's the only way I could describe it. The panic. I think it was a bit of exhaustion, and also, I'm a very naturally anxious person. You know, and in some ways it's good because when I'm directing a thing, I'm 8 steps ahead of things, and I'm trying to make sure things are in order and things like that. You know, we talk about the things that we wish we could change in ourselves, and you know, I was very, very anxious, and it could kind of make me slightly isolated or not being in the moment in a thing. And on Saturday Night Live, I felt like the majority of my time there, especially in the first half of it at least, I wasn't in the moment. I was very, very, very nervous. Heart palpitations, sweating, I would get dizzy. I remember once it got to the point where I became completely convinced that either a piece of equipment was going to fall on me or that someone was going to storm the stage. Some of the audience was going to run up on stage.
Well, that seemed like unusual things to worry about.
I thought you'd be
worrying about, you know, like, I'm going to forget my lines. I didn't
know. No,
and
you forget your lines and things. It went from that to that. So once I started getting into these other things, then I started doing like TM and, you know, you take, you know, a medication, you go to a therapist, you know, I really... You know, exercise, changing my diet. I mean, all these things to try to get this under control. And it's just acknowledging it. You know, you just kind of go, that's not happening. You know, relax. But I think it got to a really bad place. And I think in Barry, it's not so much the anxiety of it. It was more of this idea that I was naturally good at impressions. And I was telling Alec Berg this when we were just starting writing. I go, you know, I was always good at impressions, but what I always wanted to do was write and direct. I moved out to Los Angeles 20 years ago to be a writer-director, and I was a production assistant, and I did all these things. And, you know, in a fluky way, got on Saturday Night Live. You know, Megan Mullally saw me in a show. I got on Saturday Night Live, and I was not prepared for it. And I was saying it's so ironic that all the things I was writing and directing were never really, all the short films I made were never very that good, and the scripts I were writing they were not good. I had a lot to learn, but I could kind of just do impressions. And the irony was that the show I did the impressions on, it was like slowly destroying me because of the anxiety of having to perform in front of a bunch of, in front of the nation. You know, I hosted a year ago and I was a wreck. And I told Alec this, and he went, I think that's the show. It's about a guy who thinks, you know, the thing he's naturally good at is destroying him, but the thing he wants to do, he's not very good at. You know? And he goes, well, that's an emotion you understand. We can write that.
So I have to ask you about your eyes. On Saturday Night Live, you have very big eyes, and you're one of those people who can, like, raise one eyebrow. And on Saturday Night Live, you always used your eyes great for comic effect. On Barry, staring into your eyes, like when I look at your eyes on Barry, like sometimes your eyes are saying like 1,000-yard stare, the stare of a soldier who's seen combat too long. Sometimes it's the stare of someone with just like so much existential dread. And sometimes it's the stare of somebody who has just become overtaken by rage and anger. And I wonder if you think about your eyes at all, or whether it just kind of happens that your eyes communicate so much.
Yeah, I don't think about it at all. Thanks for saying that. That's a nice compliment. It's funny you say that because I always, there's a funny thing that happened with one of our editors, Kyle Ryder, where we were watching episode 4, and I just went, do I have any other facial expressions? I just have the same facial expression this whole show. I just look angry. And he played this clip, and it's me, and it's me. He plays the take. I do the take. And then you hear our director of that episode, Liza Johnson, going, "That was great, Bill. Do you want to do another one?" And I go, "No, I'm good. I think we got it." You know? And he's like, do another take, man.
Did you?
No. I always do like two takes. I'm like, did I say everything right? Are we good? Okay, let's move on.
Is that because you want to save time and money and get everything made on time?
I mean this. It's hard to talk about this without like sounding like, you know, you're being modest. Or I'm quoting Alec on this. Alec is always like, he said, "You're the only performer writer that I know that can't write for himself. I write best for Sally, Noho, Hank, Cousineau, Fuchs. But as far as the Barry stuff is concerned, we're always coming around to Barry kind of last." Mm-hmm. You know, episode 7 of this season, till I think 2 weeks before we shot it, Barry had no storyline. It was just like, what's he doing? He's just kind of hanging out. And Alec had to be like, Barry has no storyline. The show's called Barry. What is he doing? But I was so focused on, you know, Fuchs and Cousineau and, you know, Sally and her agent and all these other things that I wasn't even thinking about it. And then we were like, well, what if you got an audition? And then we kind of added that in at the 11th hour, that whole storyline. I'm the same way as an actor, too. I kind of like go, is everybody happy with that? Okay, we can move on. You know, I'm not precious. I'm weirdly, I like very few, in the edit, I like fewer choices. I kind of like having to be forced to make a decision as opposed to, you know, when I was in my early 20s, these ideas, I thought it was so romantic that Stanley Kubrick would shoot 150 takes. And now I'm like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? That makes, and now that I've done it, I'm like, wait, that's insane. You know? You don't need to do that.
Just watching the takes is going to take forever.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I think there's this thing of the directors want actors to stop acting. So they pummel them to death with a lot of takes. And I just feel like that's someone who's not really respecting an actor, and also someone that all you have to say is, hey, could you try this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Could you do less?
Bill Hader, it's been great to talk with you again. I regret that our time is up. I look forward to season 3 of Barry. Thank you so much for coming back to Fresh
Thank
Air.
Thank you. This is a huge honor.
Bill Hader recorded in June. He's nominated for 4 Emmys related to the HBO series Barry and 1 for IFC's Documentary Now, on which he's an executive producer. We'll hear from another Emmy nominee, comic John Mulaney, who also got his start on Saturday Night Live, after we take a short break. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.